We pray that as we gather, you will gather with us, and that you will bless us and guide us and make us aware of your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure that quite a lot of you in the room today will have some sort of plans to celebrate Mother's Day. Some of you, if you're very keen, might have already been around to visit somebody and dropped off cards or gifts, or you might have time planned for this afternoon to meet together with loved ones. But I did want to start today's service by acknowledging that today is a day that's going to look very different for each of us. Because although we all have in common that we came into the world thanks to a mother, families are messy and they're complicated, and the term mother might mean different things to each of us. Some of us might have one mother, some of us might have a birth mother and a stepmother or a foster mother or an adoptive mother or a guardian. Some of us might no longer have our mothers with us, or our mothers might live further away from us, meaning that we aren't able to spend the day with them. And while for some of us we might have a very close relationship with our mothers, some of us might not. Some of us might have painful or complicated relationships with our mums that make today challenging. And then to add an extra layer to the day, some of us might be mothers. Some of us might not be mothers yet, or might be unable to become mothers, or have no desire to be a mother. So whatever today might mean to you, and whatever might be on your heart as we gather this morning, please know that you are truly welcome, and that God is here, and his love is here with all of us. So let's start our time together in worship by singing our first two songs. And the first is As the Deer Pants for the Water, and the second is Jesus, We Enthrone You. now going to invite up our first reader, who is reading from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11.
This is wrong. That's John 1. Don't read it. Jesus changes water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
So as I mentioned at the start of our service, families all look very different. And while we all have a mother, our mothers are all going to be individuals with their own passions, their own values, and their own parenting styles. And the Bible includes lots of stories of families, many of them very, very messy families. And there are a few mothers that it mentions by name. But the most famous biblical mother is, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she's so famous, particularly in branches of Christianity like Catholicism. If you go to places like Malta, it is very normal to see an image of Mary outside of every house. And if you're ever there and walking down the streets, it is a very disconcerting feeling having that many eyes staring at you as you go. But a lot of the images of Mary involve her sitting, looking rather demurely down at a very peaceful, serene infant Jesus, and it's just this beautiful, quiet, still image. But I don't know how many mothers you know with children really of any age, but there's rarely any time to sit and look serene. And I think that really it's reflective of the fact that we often glamorize motherhood. We give it a bit of an airbrush, polish. We don't want to show the nappy changes or the sleepless nights or the teenage tantrums. We want to focus on the cute newborn baby snuggles and that lovely smiley family photo that took 7 attempts, but no one knows that. You put it on Facebook. It looks like it was the first try. The successful university graduation with parents beaming in the background. And those are beautiful, and those are amazing moments, and they're moments that should be celebrated. But at its core, motherhood is a job. And if you do it right, it's a really, really difficult job. And it's easy to forget that Mary did have to mother Jesus. He didn't raise himself. Mary was the one who clothed, fed, taught, and disciplined Jesus as he grew. And she has the unique honor of being one of the only humans on earth who actually was authorized to scold and boss around God. And while parenting any child is hard, I'm not sure that there was an instruction book for raising the Son of God. I don't think there was a parenting Reddit thread or a TikTok group that could shine light on what to do if your child ran away to go to the temple or started performing miracles in front of people. And the pressure of wanting to be that perfect parent, of wanting to live up to the honor of being the woman who God entrusted with his own child, must have been significant. And we don't get many glimpses of what the relationship between Mary and Jesus was like, but one of my favorite glimpses comes in the story of the wedding in Cana. And in the story, Mary, Jesus, and Jesus's disciples all get invited to go to a wedding. Now, weddings in those days were big affairs. We are talking hundreds, if not up to thousands in some cases, of guests in attendance. But still, they must have had some connection to the bride and groom to not only secure invites for themselves, but also for Jesus' disciples. And many aspects of Mary's character stand out in this story. It's clear that she was directed towards the welfare of other people. This gave her a level of shrewd observation towards details. She clearly wanted this wedding to go well. And like many women do in these situations, she'd effectively put herself on guard to identify any potential problems that could upset how the day was going. And in fact, if she had not noticed the impending predicament, the outcome of this story might have been very different. But during the wedding, Mary notices that they have run out of wine. And you might think, so what? We're probably a couple of days in, they've all had plenty of wine, that might be the cue to start going home. But actually, back in this day and age, the groom had one job in wedding planning, just one singular job. All he had to do was make sure that sufficient wine was ordered in advance of the wedding to keep all of the guest glasses full until the festivities ended. So him running out of wine, whilst the wedding was still very much in full swing, would have been a complete disaster. And it would have brought shame upon him and also on his family. So what does Mary do? Does she go and scold this groom for his lack of attentiveness? Nope. Instead, she turns to her son and she says, they've run out of wine. And I don't know if any of you have ever had the experience of your mum volunteering you for things. I have. I still do, frequently. But quite a few years ago now, my mum volunteered me to help with our church's Duke of Edinburgh scheme. So it was my previous church before we moved to Burton Latimer. And this was a really interesting choice because she knew that I had hated every single second of my Duke of Edinburgh expeditions. It was hard. It was muddy. Like, we would always seem to be in the middle of a storm whenever we set out on an expedition in the beautiful exposed Peak Districts. And so when my mum said that she had volunteered me to go back on expedition, having finished all of mine and help this new batch of girls, I had a similar reaction to Jesus, who responded to his mother's question with a lovely short, sweet sentence with the effective meaning of, what has that got to do with us? I had finished my gold at this point, and while it was one of my proudest achievements, I felt no urge whatsoever to give up my time again to go back into the rainy British weather with a bunch of young teenage girls. But despite my objections, my mum knew me well enough to know that actually I did enjoy making sure that people had access to opportunities. And I did enjoy passing on my knowledge and skills. So she thought that I would probably actually enjoy making it a positive experience for others. So of course, even though I wasn't filled with excitement, I did do it. And actually she was right. I really enjoyed it. I made some great memories and I was incredibly proud of all of the girls who did complete it. And it goes to show that mums, particularly good mums, really do know their children, and they know how to use their children's skills in order to benefit other people. Now, like I say, Jesus' reply to Mary does not sound to be particularly hopeful. Him saying, what has this situation got to do with us, doesn't imply that he's particularly keen to help. And I should note, you'll probably see in your Bibles it's translated as like, what's it got to do with me? The Greek is a bit quirky. It carries more of a weight of two people in a situation together as opposed to one person looking at it alone. So it's a bit more similar to the English, what's it got to do with us, sort of together on the sidelines. But his response definitely seems more like a, that's a shame, oh well, rather than an enthusiastic exclamation of, oh no, let me dive into the rescue and save the day. And we would expect, based purely on his response, that that would be the end of the conversation. There would be no more wine. People would be offered water, and there would be some disappointment and tutting and disapproval. And forever afterwards, that wedding would be remembered partly for its inadequate hospitality. But really, it was not a situation that was likely to haunt the memories of Mary or Jesus, because the problem was not caused by any failure on their part. But I love what happens next. Mary completely ignores Jesus. He kind of ignores the implicit refusal to help. And she takes matters into her own hands and she starts instructing the servants to do whatever Jesus tells them. Because she knows that her son is not really going to sit by and let the bride and groom come to shame, no matter what his words might say. Mary knew Jesus. She knew of his kindness and his care for others. And she also clearly had an idea of his ability to do incredible things. And because she had such an intimate knowledge of Jesus, she knew that he would step up and save the day, because he would want to. He would want to help the poor bride and groom and save them from shame. And in that way, Jesus' first recorded miracle happens not at the bequest of his father, God, or even his earthly father, Joseph, but at the bequest of his mother. And through this story, his mother's kindness and care for others, as well as her intimate knowledge of her child and his uniqueness, is immortalized. And this is a key part of motherhood and motherly love. It is about learning to see and recognize the talents and uniqueness of the people around you, being able to nurture and grow others to achieve their full potential and find their place in the world. And that is a real skill, and it's a skill that can take practice. But speaking as someone who has both a mother and also mother-like figures in my life that have encouraged and pushed me out of my comfort zone over the years, it's a skill that really can change lives for the better. And although I'm talking about it as an example of motherly love, if you're not a mother, don't think that means you don't have to do it too. It's a good skill for everybody to learn. And that really is my first message, that whether you're a mother or not, we should always look for opportunities to encourage and develop the talents of the people around us. Practice really getting to know people. Not just the details that you'd find on their Facebook or their LinkedIn, but actually what motivates them. What brings them joy? And what do they actually want for their future? Because getting to know the people around us makes it so much easier for us to love and support them in the way that God would want us to. And you can imagine what we would be able to achieve as a society if everybody felt that they had someone that they could lean on and someone that would encourage them. Imagine the type of world we could build if everybody felt truly seen. But unfortunately, many people do find themselves without anyone to look at them. They find that they never have that narrative in their lives that says, you know what, you can add value and you can make a difference. And life is so much harder when you feel like you're doing it alone or when you feel like you have nothing to add. And if you've got people in your lives that have encouraged you, thank them. Honestly, let them know how much difference it makes, because sometimes when you're helping other people, you don't realize the impact that it has. And it's such a good thing to celebrate. But as we reflect on that reading, we're going to sing our next song, which is number 436, Lord, Make Me a Mountain. But if you've got the hymn books and you want to follow the lyrics, they'll be in there as well. If it works. If it doesn't work, we'll rethink. I'm now going to invite us to join together in some prayers of intercession. Father God, we thank you for our mothers, for their kindness, their selflessness, and their love, for their fierceness in protecting and nurturing their children. We pray for those whose mothers have returned to your care, particularly for those for whom today might be their first Mother's Day alone. We ask that you'll wrap them in your arms and fill them with happy memories, memories of joy and not of grief. And we pray for all of the mums who might be feeling a bit overwhelmed and struggling through the challenges of parenting. We pray for those who are feeling exhausted, touched out, anxious, or out of their depth. We pray that you'll give them peace, confidence in themselves, and a deep knowledge that they too are loved. And we pray for mothers who are trying to raise their children in conflict zones and in environments where they aren't able to provide their children with adequate food, water, or any of the basics to give them the future that they would want for them. May you bring these mothers strength and tenacity to nurture their children as best they can in a world that is so full of darkness and danger. And may you bring your spirit of motherly love into the world so that one day, where there is violence, there might be peace. And where there is famine, there might be food. And we thank you for the organisations that are standing with those mothers, helping them to be able to provide for their children and keep them safe. May you bless their work and help them to reach more families in need around the world. We also bring before you those who would deeply like to become mothers, but who are unable to. May you help them through the questions and through the heartbreak. May you surround them with people to love them and people who they can love. And may you bring them comfort in the way that only you can. And we thank you for all of the women who, despite not being mothers, fill the world with love and nurture and support for everyone that they meet. May we all become the type of people who want to support and encourage those you place in our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm now going to invite us to join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer, whatever version you're the most familiar with. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. So in a moment, we are going to sing again, and we're going to be singing number 1008, The Lord's My Shepherd. And while we're singing, I think we've got some volunteers who are going to be handing out daffodils.
Thank you.
And then I think the children and young people have something that they've prepared. So we'll give them a second. They're running around, and then we will pass over into their hands.
Some assistance, so we might So today is a day all about celebrating our mums. But also we celebrate grandmothers, aunties, foster mums, stepmums, guardians, and all the other important women that help shape our lives as we grow. Whether that be family, friends, teachers, or just someone that we've met that's helped to shape us to the person that we are today. So me and my able assistants here have got some objects that we're going to show you that demonstrate ways in which our mums help us. And I wonder if you could maybe have a little look, work out what they might, have a look at what they are, and have a little guess at what they might mean. If you're further back, you may struggle because they are a bit, you know. My assistants will leave on the small side, but let's see what we've got in my bag. You're gonna,
Jeremy.
Can you pull some out of my bag for me? Pull some out for me. Whatever the room can call you. So what have we got here? What is it, Jeremy? Do you know? What is it? A spoon. So the spoon reminds us how mums feed us, look after us, and make sure we have what we need. Mums take care for us, they nurture and they provide. Gonna have a go, Ivan?
Hold it up high. Really high.
So we've got a cross. That represents how mums teach us, how they help us learn how to live, how to be kind, and how to follow God. Mums guide us. Can you put that out for me? Right, that one's very small. So what have you got there, Albie?
A plaster.
So mums help us when we're hurt. They help us when we fall over, feel ill, or feel sad. Mums help us heal.
You can do another one?
So what's that one? What have we got?
Heart.
A heart. Mums love us, even when we make mistakes. They show us unconditional love. Jeremy's been making a cake in a minute with those ones, he's gone. Like him fond of one out, Ivan? What have we got? Tissues. Mums comfort us. They help us when we cry, they wipe our tears, and they make us feel better. Mums show us kindness and comfort. What's that?
A watch.
Mums give us their time. Mums are always busy helping, driving, cooking, listening. They show us that love takes time. Right, I've got another couple, Jen. Are you going to pull out some comments? What are they? Do you know?
Key.
Mums keep things safe. They help keep the family safe and the home running. They show us responsibility and care. They're my keys, yeah.
Yeah.
You can hold this one up, I think. Can you hold this one? Are these These are flowers that I've brought home from nursery, so they're a little bit worse for wear. Flowers help us say thank you. On Mother and Sunday, we give flowers to thank for the love and care that mums show us. And then last one, Abby. Chocolate. Mums sometimes surprise us with something nice. Mums bring us joy. Today, we thank God for mums, grandmothers, carers, and everyone else who shows us love and kindness. Mothering Sunday reminds us that love is one of God's greatest gifts. Today we've had lots of things that come out of the bag that remind us of our mums. Spoons, plasters and tissues, and all the other things that mums seem to carry around just in case. Mums do so many things to help us. They look after us, they forgive us, and sometimes even when we even find things we didn't say, we definitely said we didn't lose. Mothering Sunday is a day to say thank you to all the women in our lives, our mums, our aunties, our grandmothers, but also reminds us that we're never on our own. The Bible tells us that God loves us even more than the best mum in the world. God cares for us, listens, and forgives us, and never ever gets tired of helping us, even when we ask the same questions again and again. And the church family is a bit like that as well. We look after each other and we pray for each other and we share God's love with one another. So today we thank God for our mums and everyone who cares for us, for the church, our big family, where love is always, there is always love, always help, and always someone that knows where the biscuits are. Mothering Sunday reminds us that love is one of God's greatest gifts. And now to finish, Albie is going to lead us in a very short prayer. Let us pray.
Dear God, thank you for our mums and people who love us. Please bless them today and help us stay. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. I'm now doing a Bible reading, but I've got to get the Bible, so just bear with me. The second reading is taken from John 19, chapters 25 to 27. Standing close to the cross were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there. So he said to his mother, "He is your son." He then said to the disciple, "She is your mother." From that time, the disciple took her home to live in his place.
Well, thank you for the reading and also to all of our little helpers for helping to bring us that part of the service today. And our second reading is jumping to the other side of the gospel, to the wedding of Cana. So the wedding at Cana gave us the briefest glimpse into motherhood and motherly love as being the skill of caring about others and seeing them for who they are. But this conversation takes place while Jesus is on the cross and his mother and his disciples are at the foot of the cross. And in the midst of his agony, Jesus says to one of his disciples, "This is your mother now." Jesus loved his mum so much that even in the agony of crucifixion, he worried about her. He wanted her to be okay. and he made sure to entrust her to someone who he knew would provide for her and comfort her. And for those of you who are grieving your mothers today, whether they passed recently or a long time ago, bring that grief before Jesus, because he understands it. He loved Mary as much as any son can love their mother. And if anyone can understand the pain that you are carrying, it is him. And Mary was an incredibly strong woman. She was so strong that she was sat at the foot of the cross upon which her beloved son was dying, something she likely would never have imagined that she would be witnessing happening to her God-born child. And she didn't leave. She stayed with her son. Motherhood is often portrayed as soft and gentle, and it is. But it's also fierce. It is resilient, and it is brave. It's the courage to stay when everything hurts. It's the determination to love, even when love is costly. And many of you know this kind of strength. You have stood by hospital beds. You've waited through sleepless nights. You've prayed through worry and fear. You have carried burdens silently, and you have loved when it was exhausting. And Mary shows us that kind of love. She could run from pain, but she remained present. And that is often one of the greatest gifts that a mother can give, just presence. Not perfection, not having all of the answers, not being able to fix everything, but being there, standing close, staying near, refusing to abandon. Because mums are strong. And if you are a mum and you're not feeling strong, I promise you that you are. Let us think again about Mary herself. This moment at the cross didn't come out of nowhere. Mary's journey had always had to involve trust and trusting in God. As a young woman, she said yes to God's calling. She ended up birthing a child in a very difficult situation, immediately had to flee with that child to become a refugee. And she raised Jesus in a humble home. We're told that she pondered things in her heart. And once Jesus was grown, she watched people misunderstand him. And she heard the prophecies he spoke about his suffering. But she remains faithful. Motherhood often involves releasing control. You raise a child, you guide them, you protect them, you pray for them, and then you have to let them walk their own path. Mary had to let Jesus be who God called him to be, even when that path led to the cross. And that can be one of the hardest parts of love, trusting God with the people that we care about. And many of you will be familiar with that struggle, the struggle of letting children grow, letting them make mistakes, and letting them choose their own way. And that might mean facing challenges, but you are watching and trusting God in the process. Mary shows us that faith doesn't remove pain, but it gives us the courage to walk through it. But mums need support too. One of my colleagues has a mug that they use every day at work, and we're very frequently on Teams meetings, and I'll see the mug flash up on the Teams camera. And on the mug, it says, "You can't pour from an empty cup." And mums, you can't pour from an empty cup. Motherhood by its nature involves giving so much to the people around you. I mean, I'm very much all grown up, and my mum is still there for me whenever I need her. And she's only one street away, so I take advantage of that frequently. But actually, mums need support too. And as a congregation and as members of families and members of communities, we need to support and love mums, to step in and care for them in the way that Jesus' disciples stepped in to care for Mary. And that means helping with all of the basic and boring bits of life. It is the offering to do the dishes, the cooking, the hoovering for mums who maybe just need a chance to breathe a bit, to be a safe place for mums to speak without being tempted to pass judgment, to help them feel seen and loved and cared for as individual humans themselves. And of course, it's why celebrating motherhood today is so important, whether we are mums or not. And if you know any mums, if you don't know any mums at the moment, you can still help. Consider, if you are able to, doing things like donating to the local food bank, because that's a lifeline to so many families in our communities, particularly at the moment. Or if you want to do more, there are so many international charities that are working to help children and families just have what they need to survive. And it also means standing with mums who have lost children. My 14-year-old cousin died when I was 18, and I can honestly say that her parents and us as an extended family would not have made it through those first few weeks without the love that we received from our church family. It was the things like the meals that we were sent, the silent visitors who came and tidied and were just there. Didn't say anything, but they were there. It was the shopping delivered, the teas made. And even in awful situations, we all have something to offer, even if it is just the gift of our own two hands and our time. So my challenge to you today is this: make the most of it. Whatever it means to you, find a way to celebrate it, to give thanks, to show appreciation, to speak love, and most importantly, to share gratitude to the people in your lives who have supported you and loved you. But then even more importantly, for the next 364 days, continue to be there for mothers and the mother-like figures in your life. Be like Jesus's trusted disciple. When Jesus asks him to take care of his mother, the disciple does not just say, sending thoughts and prayers. He doesn't just agree in theory. He acts. He opens his home. He shares his life and he takes responsibility, not just on that one day with Jesus on the cross, but for every day going forwards. And I'd ask the same thing of you. Continue to notice the people that God places in your life. Continue to care. Continue to show up and continue to love. Practice loving others with the attentiveness of Mary at Cana and the faithfulness of Mary at the cross. Because God has great things in store for each and every one of us, but none of us are meant to walk this journey alone, and none of us can pour from an empty cup. All of us need encouragement, we all need support, we all need people who are going to stand with us in joy and also in sorrow. Relationships, as we see in the relationship between Jesus and Mary, are meant to be mutual. They're meant to be rooted in love, care, and commitment to one another. And when relationships are healthy and supportive, they let us grow and they strengthen us and they give us courage. They remind us that we are not forgotten. So may we be a community that reflects that kind of love. May we notice like Mary. May we care like Jesus. May we support one another faithfully. And may every mother and every person here today know that they are seen, valued, and deeply loved by this community and also by God. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you that your Spirit unites each and every one of us. We pray that your Spirit will move our hearts and help us to grow in love for one another and for ourselves. Help us to love and encourage one another and be able to receive love in return. Fill us with confidence in our own worth and value, and help us to see the worth and value in those around us. May you open our eyes to be able to see and celebrate the talents that you've given us. And when we're feeling weak, surround us with people who will make us strong. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to sing our final hymn, which is number 1086, Light of the World. and are now going to invite us to close with the words of the grace to one another. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.